Try. morning, Trinity. Welcome to worship. We are glad that you are here this morning. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are with us for the first time today, we are especially delighted to welcome you as our guest. Please let us know you are here today, and you can do that by filling out a connection card that you'll find in the bulletin. If you're here for the first time, we'd love for you to share as much information as you are comfortable with. If you're here regularly, if you'll just put your name and your email address, that's helpful, and then you can place those in the offering plates later in the service. So today is an exciting day because we get to share Bibles with a whole bunch of third graders that you see up here in front with their families. So we are looking forward to doing that, providing them with Bibles that can then become a part of their lives and their growth in faith. And as we share these Bibles with them, perhaps today is the day when we are reminded ourselves of the importance of spending time in Scripture. Perhaps this is a day when we recommit ourselves to learning from God's Word. It's in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, "If you make my Word your home, then you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." May we find that to be the case in our own lives. Welcome home. It's great to be home. Let me invite you to stand and greet someone near you as we prepare to worship today.
Please remain standing and let us worship God together with our opening song, our opening hymn, "My Hope Is Built."
Around invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Oh God, we come to you this morning and we are grateful that you are the rock on which we stand, the rock on which we base our lives. Open us now to the movement of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts, open our minds to hear your word and speak to us today that we might be changed and that we might go out and change the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For Brian and I and our third graders to join you in worship today as we continue the United Methodist tradition of presenting Bibles to our third graders. When we give the gift of the Bible, we continue to experience and explore the faith we all share together. So I'd like to invite the third graders, along with their families, to come forward, and our third graders are going to kneel, and our families are going to stand behind them. So as you all are coming forth, I would like to introduce Bonnie Peabody. She is one of our third grade Sunday school teachers who has volunteered here for many years, and she's also a grandmother of one of our third graders. She will be reading the names so our congregation can be a part of this as well. We will be presenting the Common English Bible, and these Bibles have been inscribed by Mary Ellen Funderburk. Looks like we have most everyone up here. So, parents, I invite you, when we, Steve, Catherine, Brian, and I, present the Bibles to your child, I invite you to place a hand on your child's shoulder or back as a sign of blessing.
While I read the names, I would ask that each of you say a prayer for the child who is receiving their Bible. Amel. Jamel Ahmad, Cristiano Andrews, Taylor Sandra Batten, Elizabeth Catherine Berkner, Samantha Grace Bogos, Brett Burford, Elizabeth Faith Cannon, Jacob Paoli, Chloe Casey, Hunter Jackson Prevel, Michael Paul Dietrich, Grant Thomas Dungan, Dawson Blake Edwards, Kira Ann Ford, Davis Timothy Garrett, Jackson Wilson Hollingen, Aubrey L. Instiff, Connor Kemp, Ian Matthew Corey, Drew King, William Johnson Klein, Asher Luke Lozano, Thomas Christian Mack, Madeline May, Eliza McGinnis, Jacquez McKenzie, Aiden Michael Menninger, Claire Migliocho, Paul Bradley Mishu, Audrey McKenna Nesmith, Addison King, Caden Roselle, Evan Grant Rochford, Evan Rawl, Kendall Lynn Catherine Sill, Timothy Spano, Noah Michael Stansel, Ethan Alexander Stern. Cheyenne Lynn Sullivan. Reed Michael Thomas. Dyson Tillman. Casey Douglas Whitaker. Gabrielle Rose Worthman.
Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word. And today, especially for the way that word comes to us through the pages of Scripture. As these young people take these Bibles home with them, may they find a special place in their rooms and in their hearts where they can use it each day and come to know more and more of your great love for them and the ways in which they can follow Christ faithfully. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Now, all you third graders, I want to invite you to open your Bibles and look for this card that's in your Bibles. And I want you to take it out. And I want you to read along with me all the words that are on the front of it, okay? Everybody got it? And then you can read it with me. Your word is a lamp before my feet and a light for my journey. Now that you've done it once, let's do it again all together, okay? Here we go. Your word is a lamp before my feet and a light for my journey. Okay, now I want to invite you to stand up and kind of sneak through your families that are behind you. And then everybody turn around so you're facing the congregation. So grown-ups and big people in the back and third graders in the front. Take your Bible with you. Get your Bible and turn around so you're facing the congregation. And now, church, I invite you to respond this morning. Let's say this together.
We rejoice with you today as you continue in your walk with Jesus and your study of faith. We pray that as you read the words of Scripture, you will learn of the depth of God's love for you. May God bless you always. Thank you, and you all may return to your seats now. What a special day it is.
I would be the lamp unto my feet.
I invite you now to turn your attention to the screens where you will hear some sharing about today's Mission Box opportunities. So take a look.
Trinity Sister Church is a Methodist church in Central Angeles, Cuba. Church is over 100 years old. It's in a wonderful location in the central road that goes all the way to Central Angeles, the farm. It's in a wonderful place for evangelism, and the people have been marvelously responsive to us in caring.
The Cienfuegos Church was partially damaged Trinity United Methodist Church has been blessed with the sister church relationship and being able to financially and morally support the church over the years since then and providing instruction. The church has, through their membership, has been able to multiply our financial support, even though they are meager means.
The people in Cuba and the Methodist churches there are rich in faith but poor in material resources. The average salary is about $20 a month. That includes a pastor's salary. So they really need our encouragement and help.
The work that's being done is almost complete, getting very close, with the main project left is to resurface and tile the sanctuary floor. And what we'd like to do is focus on a new, finish that mission, but focus on a new way to help Cienfuegos Church, in that they have four mission churches, four house churches that they have spun off from their church, and these all need support. And $300 a year is what we're trying to provide for each house church. It basically doubles the pastor's salary and provides some local support.
So today, as you exit, we invite you, as you are able and desire, to participate in our offering for the Mission Box. In addition to the things that you heard John and Sanford mention on the video, I'm excited to share with you one other piece about the mission opportunity. In February, we have a team that will be traveling to Cuba, and we thought that with this falling on today's service, wouldn't it be cool if when that team goes, just as we have shared Bibles with our third graders today, what if we took Bibles in Spanish to the third graders who are a part of our sister church in Cuba? So we will be doing that in February, and so your offerings for the Mission Box today will support that effort in addition to the other things mentioned in the video. So again, as you are led, you may participate in that a little bit later in the service. We come now to a time of prayer as a church congregation. There are names of those who are a part of our congregation who you can find on the screens, I believe. There they are. And so I invite you to pray for those as well as other persons that may be on your hearts this morning. I also am mindful that today is September 11th and that 15 years ago today a horrible tragedy happened here in our country. And I think of those who were children, particularly young children at that time. And I think of people who were newlyweds. And all the persons who 15 years later continue to grieve the loss of persons that they loved so dearly. And so I would invite you to remember them in your prayers today. I also am mindful of how in the aftermath of that event, for a short period of time, there was a sense of unity among us as a people in this country. And how far from that we are 15 years later. And so I would ask you to consider this in your prayers today. What would it look like for you to be a person as a part of your Christian witness, as a follower of Christ? What would it look like for you, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, to be a person who helps us unify and helps us work toward commonality rather than divisiveness? What would it look like for the way in which you speak, even with those you disagree with, and the way in which you act on Facebook, on Twitter, in personal conversations? What would it look like for you to act in ways that truly model the way of Christ as we seek to continue to heal? So I'm going to give you a moment to just pray in silence on your own first, both for those concerns that have been shared and also for your own Christian witness, and then I'll offer a prayer for us. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, as we come before you in prayer, we begin by saying thank you. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the friendships that we hold dear. Thank you for the children, especially those that we have seen receive their Bibles here today, and the ones who are a part of our sister church in Cuba, whom we have the privilege of serving as well. Thank you for all your children everywhere who serve as a reminder to us of your grace and your work in continuing to bring hope and new possibilities among us. As we think of them, we ask that you would fit us for service and for living that models the way of Jesus. As we think of those who are grieving today, who have experienced through violence and through hatred, through war, the suffering of the loss of a loved one, we pray for our nation, and we pray that as your followers, you would show us the way. Make us mindful of our calling to live as you modeled for us. And now as we continue to listen for your word among us this morning, may we have our hearts bound together as we share those words which Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. We turn now to a time in worship when we have the opportunity to offer our tithes and our gifts as a response of faith and as a way to participate in what God does through the church today. So I'll ask the ushers to come forward at this time. And as they do, I invite you to pray once again with me. Holy God, giver of all good gifts, we pray today that as we make these offerings, we would be mindful of the ways in which you can use us and our resources in bringing about your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So make us generous, O God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Delaney McDaniel, and today's sunlight will be offering Try Everything by Shakira. One of my favorite authors and inspirations is Corrie Ten Boom. In her darkest hours, she turned to her Bible verses she learned as a child. She wrote the poem, The Master Weaver's Plan. Within the poem, she says, "Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper, and I the underside." This positivity and faith that God is at work in all of our lives is at the heart of the song, Try Everything. While we might look at the backside of a tapestry, as Corrie Ten Boom pointed out, like our lives, and see a mess of knots and loose ends with all of our failures, God sees the other side. He has woven our lives together using all of those knots and failures to make a beautiful tapestry. In the verses for today's sermon, we are reminded that God takes bad situations and failures to teach us. In these moments, God can bring us back to Him and turn our focus to what He has planned. Sometimes this may even include trying something new. No thread of experience, good or bad, is wasted. When it appears to be that way, we just have to remind ourselves that we're simply looking at the back side of a tapestry, and the one leading it together knows precisely what he is doing. Julia Savin and Sunlight will be giving their voices today, today's offering.
What a great word for all of us today, and what a great word to our third graders as they begin to explore their Bibles. Don't give up, keep trying, and through these words, I trust you will come to know Jesus. Now, I've got the same Bible up here this morning that you guys do, and so I want to invite all of us to read Scripture together, but you third graders with your Bibles, specifically, I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to what I'm reading today instead of looking at it on the screen. So, here's a hint. Take your Bible like this, hold it like this, and let it kind of go about halfway open. And you'll usually end up in Psalms or Proverbs. Look at the top of the page and it'll say Psalms or Proverbs. Then, take the back half, take the back half of your Bible, and open that up about halfway, and you'll probably end up in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I happened to be in Mark when I opened it. But then I want you to turn a few more pages and go to, there's the page number. Go to page 1146. The page numbers are right at the top of the page in the middle. So go to 1146, and I'm going to be reading today from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter. The big numbers are the chapters, beginning with the 27th verse. So if you look at the bottom left corner of your page, 1146, you'll see where I'm going to start reading. And it says, behaving as God's children. And then that's where I'm going to start. This, again, folks, is from the Gospel of Luke. And we continue our series on who is this man, looking at different characteristics of Jesus, who he was and who he is to us. So I invite you to read in your Bibles or along on the screen with me as I read this morning. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? That means why should people think good of you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High, and that's where Jesus means you'll be acting the way God, you'll be acting the way children of the Most High God act, for he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And he continues, don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of God. And when I say that, guys, third graders and everybody else, when I say this is the word of God, then you respond with, thanks be to God. So this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads this morning and pray for me in sharing this message with you as I pray for you that God will open your hearts and minds and speak to you the word today. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our living rock. Amen. Gold shoes meant that it was pop quiz day, and word spread very quickly. When Mrs. Brantley was walking the halls of Buholtz wearing gold shoes, then we would most, who had Miss Brantley? Raise your hand. Some of you in here I know have had Miss Brantley or know Miss Brantley. Yes. So when Miss Brantley was walking the hall with gold shoes, we knew that most surely we would have a pop quiz in British literature that day. And the gold shoes were just a way of giving us just a little bit of grace, a few periods to be able to cram some more for what we knew would be a very hard quiz. Mrs. Diana Brantley was one of my favorite teachers in high school, and she was also one of the very hardest. But you know, because of the love and respect and a little bit of grace, as well as challenging us to even higher standards, we as students wanted to turn around and offer to her our very best. You know, today we talk about Jesus as a teacher. Jesus was a teacher. He was many other things as well. We know him as a healer and a redeemer and as our Savior and our Lord, and yet Jesus was a teacher. And in those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the beginning of the New Testament, they're called Gospels. It just is a Greek word that means good news, because Jesus brings us good news. So those are the stories of the good news of Jesus. And in those stories, more than 45 times in those four Gospels, Jesus is referred to as teacher. And you know, some of his most memorable and most well-known teaching comes from the words that I read today. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, meaning the sermon that Jesus gave when he was up on a mountain. But in the Gospel of Luke, it's different. Jesus shares these very same words on a level place. So you guys, just picture Jesus sitting out in this big flat field teaching his disciples. And, you know, he teaches them some really tough and some really familiar words. In this, we hear the golden rule. Have y'all ever heard of anybody talk about the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Well, we forget sometimes that Jesus actually taught these words, to treat others as you would want them to treat you. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, these words are very challenging. Jesus says to love not just your friends, but also to love your enemies. Jesus says to be kind and to do good to those who hate you. That means those kids at school that are really mean to you, that don't treat you well. Jesus says to do good to them and to be kind to them. And Jesus teaches us to not repay evil for evil. He says that if someone hits you, don't hit them back, but turn the other cheek, which means be kind to them instead. You know, the old way of doing things before Jesus was something called an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What that meant was that if somebody socked you in the eye, well, then you would turn around and sock them back. Or if somebody knocked out your tooth, then you would turn around and knock out their tooth as well. But you know what that leads to? A whole bunch of people who are walking around blind and toothless. And that doesn't do us much good at all. So Jesus said, I want you to do it a different way. Jesus challenged us that we shouldn't punch back and we shouldn't hurt back, but that we should be loving, even to those who are the hardest to love. That's important for us as grown-ups to know, too. Even to those who are the hardest to love. He teaches us not to judge others. He teaches us to forgive others. And he teaches us to give generously. And you know what? He teaches us to do all of those things for one reason. Because God is love. We are children of God, and therefore we should act like God. We should live the same way that God wants us to live, full of love and caring. You know, all of these things are hard. They are really tough stuff. Most of what Jesus teaches us to do are things that make us go against the grain or swim upstream. They are different than the normal ways that we would think and act and live. They are against our normal inclinations and behavior. They make us stand out of the crowd, and they make us go the second and the third and even the 77th mile. Yet, the more the disciples were around Jesus, the more they paid attention to his teaching, the more they could see that what they did and how they acted flowed out of who they were as disciples, as followers of Jesus. The way they lived became less a list of rules to follow, and instead became the teaching that changed their lives. You know, this morning you guys are receiving your Bibles, and I pray that you will read your Bibles, because it is through reading your Bibles that you will come to know the teaching of God, and you will come to know the teaching of Jesus. But even more important than that, it is through coming to know the teaching of Jesus that you will come to know Jesus and know Him as your Lord and as your Savior. When I was an infant, I was given a Bible. This Bible, actually. Now, I couldn't read it. You know, when you're a baby, you can't read. But this was an important sign to me, and has been as I have been growing up, of how important a Bible is to us. This one says, presented to Catherine Ann Fluck, the Juanita Stott Bible class of Fairmont Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it has my birthday, May 6, 1964. Y'all don't have to figure it out, I'm 52. This one is my third grade Bible. It's the third grade Bible that was presented to me. And Jacquez is going to help me out here. It was presented to me by this church, Trinity. And I want you to read the date for me. Can you read that down there? 11/1972. This was presented to me by you all. I didn't even realize it until I looked at the date this morning. I knew the year. September 11th, 1972. But you know, this one wasn't quite as easy to read as the one that you guys were given this morning. We didn't quite get that down then. So it wasn't until I was in high school that I began to really read the Bible. You see, I found this one in our family room beside where my mother would sit. This is a living Bible. It's a paraphrase of the Bible, and it was written in words that were easier for me to understand. And so I kind of stole it from my mom. I don't think she really minded, but I took her Bible, and I would go into my room after school, and I would lay down on my couch and on my bed, and I would read the words of the Bible, and they made sense to me. And I particularly liked the letters of Paul, and you can see maybe how there's yellow highlighting in there, because I would highlight things that were meaningful to me. And it was as I read this Bible that the teachings of Jesus became real to me, that the teachings of Jesus led me to a deeper relationship with Christ. Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, says this about the Bible. It is, we often say, the Word of God. But it is the Word of God not because it is the primary and central witness in history to God. Not because it is the primary and central witness in history to God. Jesus Christ is that. But because it, the Bible, is the primary witness to Jesus Christ. As I read the Bible and committed my life to it, committed to myself to abide in it, to learn from it, to make it my home, It became for me the primary witness to Jesus Christ, who then transformed my life. And now, I treasure those words because I read them and I learned them. You know, when I was first a teenager and was deepening my prayer life and my commitment to follow Christ, these words resounded to me. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. And those who seek will find. And for those who knock, the door will be opened. And then along the way, you know, following Christ became a little more difficult. Sometimes, like I said, those teachings are hard and it's not easy to follow. And when I would get frustrated, the words of Jesus would convict me. Jesus said, if any would become my followers, then let them deny themselves and take up their cross and daily follow me. And then when I was in college and I was feeling nudged and feeling this call to ministry, but I really didn't want to accept it, God led me to these words in the scriptures. The harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Ask therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into God's harvest. And then, you know, sometimes life is hard. And things come at us that we don't expect. Things that hurt and wound us. Things that we mourn. Difficulties that we have. And that's when I would return again to the words of Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. And then, you know, there are times when I'm just trying to do too much and my life is so full and busy. And then I hear these words that Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are busy and distracted by too many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has taken the better part. And, you know, there are times along the way in ministry where I've just had one of those not-so-good days. And I've thought, I just don't know if I'm up for this. I'm not sure I can continue. You know, every day's not a good day. And then the words of Jesus reverberate in my head. Catherine, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name will be given you. And of course, throughout our lives, we give thanks that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Through those words of Scripture that we know and treasure, that we come to know, the primary witness of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When I was a child, my parents took me to visit family. You guys ever have to go visit family? You know? Yeah. Went to go visit family. And we went to go visit my great-grandfather's cousin. She was 90 years old. And I clearly remember going in and sitting down in her living room. And there she was sitting. She had this afghan over her lap. And she had this book opened in her lap. And I looked, and it was a Bible. And she asked me to come over and she showed me her Bible that she had read, and she talked to me about it, and she read me things in her Bible. And then she told me what she did. She said, every time I read the Bible, I put the date in the front cover. So she would have the date when she started the Old Testament, and then the date when she finished the Old Testament. And then she would have the date when she started the New Testament, and the date when she finished the New Testament. And I was just fascinated by her commitment and the depth of her faith. So, in 1972, the year that I received my third grade Bible from you all, Emma Aslerbach died just 6 months shy of 100 years old. And when she did, her daughter gave her Bible, gave her mother's Bible, to my parents to give to me. This is that Bible that Emma Aslerbach read. And you know, I looked through Bible, recorded in this book at least, for the first time when she was 22 years old. And by the time she died, at almost 100, she had read it 92 times. 92 times, cover to cover. She was a loving, caring, forgiving, and generous person. And I believe that she was that way because she spent so much time with the teachings of Jesus. As Jesus said, you will truly be my disciples if you make my teaching your home. God, we give you thanks for your teaching given to us through this book. We pray this morning that each of these third graders here and all of the grown-ups here as well will open their Bibles and read them so that they can get to know your teaching. And so that through your teaching, they might come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and know him as Lord and Savior, and become truly devoted followers, transformed by Christ, and able to go out and transform the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
It is in the pages of the Bible where we learn about how we got started coming to this table. Matthew and Mark and Luke all tell us about the night before Jesus died, how he gathered with his disciples for a final meal. And when they were together that night, he wanted them to remember what he was about to do, both for their sake and for the sake of the world. And so he gave them object lessons, using the bread and the cup. When he took the bread that night, he broke it. And And when he shared it with them, we're told in the Gospels that he said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And then after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks. And he shared it with them and he said, "Take and drink, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And so we keep coming as the church today, as followers of Jesus now, to remember his sacrifice, his great love, and to offer ourselves in response. Will you pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for this table and for the place that you have set for each one of us to come. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that as we receive them, we might recognize the presence of Christ here in the elements and might give thanks for his life given up for our sake and for the sake of the world. And then may we rise and go out into the world to live in union with you, with each other, and in ministry to others, that we might be a part of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. All this we ask in his name and by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to meet us at the altar. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always an open table. That means that everyone is welcome, whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time. This table is for you because of Christ's great love for us. So we'll invite you to come in just a moment. You'll find that there will be a pair of servers in front of each of the sections. If you'll simply exit out the left side of your section, beginning with the front row and working to the back, come forward with your hands open, ready to receive God's gift. A piece of bread will be placed there, and then you can take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then continue on down the right side of your section and back into your seats. If you'd like, after receiving, you are welcome to come to the rails and spend time in prayer as you desire. Everything is ready, and we welcome you all.
Oh, my.
can join us in our closing hymn today, the verse and chorus of I Will Follow.
Grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you always.